I'm very aware of the time, so don't be nervous. But I do want to share just a few thoughts before we finish. I have a lot of stories. I think if we gave opportunity, everybody here, even if it's your first time, you've got some stories to tell about camp in a week. And God has been so good to us, as we've heard. And I started here too as a baby, I'm told. And so it's been, this would be the 59th season that I'm here. I'm 58, but in my 59th year, you know how that works, right? And so I don't remember the early years. The earliest I remember specifically is when I was dropped off at the cottage when I was 6 years old. And I've heard some stories here. Thank you. We're in a club together. We didn't survive. Part of my problem is my mom and my grandma were guests here, and so I would see them every day, and they were within reach, and I was okay during the day. There was a lot of activity and things happening, but as soon as the sun started to set, that homesick, and I knew they were just up the road, and I couldn't get to them, and it turned really bad after just a few days. I don't think I made it a week, and they finally, everybody thought it was best that I just go stay with them. And so I did. I was down here on a cabin on the hill, and I think it was on that first cabin that they were staying in. And so I joined them there. I do remember they went out to a meeting and they left me in the room that night. I figured I would go to sleep. And I remember locking them out, and that was a big ordeal. They came back from meeting and people had to break into the cabin. And so that was my first camp remembrance at 6 years old. And I didn't go back then for a number of years till I was 11 and started back in the Great Hearts. And then I had 5 years, two in Natick, two in Nonantum, and God met as a young person there. And I could tell you lots of stories, but particular, it was going into my last year as a camper up in Nonantum. I was 15. My dad had passed away September the year before. And so this was my first year at camp. After my dad died, it was my last year as a camper, and there was a change in head counselors. That I had known one head counselor for as long as I remember. Brother Carl Saylor was always up here. And then that year, he retired as the head counselor, and there was a change, and I came up feeling very disappointed and frustrated my last year. And I knew what we had under his ministry here, and I was not looking forward to the change. There was too much already in my life, and I just thought this is not going to be a good year. And I had some other things that I struggled with camp that year. Not terrible things, just, you know, stuff in my little brain. And but I remember then, it was the first, I think it was the first night we had the big meeting up in the village. And we marched down from Nonantum through the woods, and we lined up outside the meeting house getting ready to go in. I've told this story before, but we all have those stories that have marked our lives. And we stood there waiting to get in to start the meeting, and we were online. And there used to be two big boulders right next to the tetherball court going in. Now they moved one, I guess. It's a foundation for the restroom up there, or the septic tank. There went my altar, my stone of remembrance. But it was, for many years after, I stood out there, and I remember just staring at that big boulder waiting to go into the meeting house, and I said, God, I'm not leaving here until you do a work in me. I need the baptism of your Holy Spirit. And God met us in that meeting, just, you know, a bunch of 9 to 15-year-olds, and God came to us. And at the end of the meeting, you know, campers were leaving, going back, counselors were taking them to cabins and getting ready for bed, and I stayed. And there were three counselors who stayed there to pray, and one other camper who's still a good friend today, Brother Phil Walfogel. He stayed, and we were praying, and there it was right on this side in the front row. And I remember he stayed and prayed that night with me. And I don't know how long it was. It was a while. And those counselors just prayed. And God came in such a special way and baptized me with the Holy Spirit at 15 there in the village. And it's things like that, moments like that, that have held and really deeply rooted us. All of us have had moments like that here in faith and have kept us through years. And again, there have been seasons of wrestle and ups and downs. But we have those things that we look back on and we say, God has been in this and he has been faithful. And then I moved on to staff and served in most capacities that a man or young man can, a teenager, from the pots to the dishes to grounds and whatever else we did in those days. And never imagined that I would be standing here. I remember the first time Brother Edwin was so gracious in so many ways, and I was a young minister, and I came up just trying to mind my own business, and I had a young family, and we'd usually try to sit in the back, and so he would give me opportunity. Not that I was looking for it. He kind of said, "You're going to do this, and how do you say no?" And so little by little, he would give me opportunity to share maybe at a table worship and maybe a few minutes in a meeting. And then one night, one year, he said, "I want you to speak tonight." And so here I was behind this pulpit for the first time, and he sat right in that seat. And it must have been later in the summer because there was a fire going in the fireplace behind me. And you want to talk about sweating. I don't know what was worse, the fire or Brother Edwin's eyes on me 3 feet away. But the opportunity and the grace that he showed and how God worked in my life here. And then my family, God has blessed us to be able to come here together. Our children have had many different experiences. Heard from Sarah. She came at 6 years old, as early as you can come in the village. We dropped her off. We had a harder time than her. She said goodbye, and she never looked back. And that was the beginning of camp for her. Another daughter that I have, she wasn't so anxious to go as a camper, so we come up as a family. And finally, after some years, she decided she would go, and it was up in the village. She was a little older, and she was more like me, homesick, and didn't, you know, kind of like the separation. But my wife and I weren't here, and I think probably my son was born. John Christian was already born, but I don't remember the year. But we were home. We were going to come up for the second week, and but we started getting reports that she wasn't doing very well, and she was begging to come home, and we just said, just stick it out. We'll be there in a few days. And so we were, I don't know where we were. I think we were out one evening, and the phone rings, beginning of cell phones in the day, and my wife is talking on the phone, and I said, that's an unusual conversation. And then I realized it's my daughter Kimberly who called her, and it's about 8:30 at night. And I said, you don't get phone calls from campers at 8:30 at night. I said, I'm not sure what's going on, but she is in a lot of trouble. And she had snuck out of the village and snagged somebody's cell phone, and she's on Watch Rock calling home begging for us to come and rescue her. I says, I don't know what's going on, but you better get back now. Anyway, she held out a couple days. When we got here, she bailed out too, so she took after me. But even with some of those tough times, I did see a post that she sent on Facebook to somebody's comment of pictures here at camp, and she says, I never want to leave. So, or something like that. So it's, she's not here now, is she? She took the baby back. Okay, I could talk. there we have it, what God has done here and his goodness and faithfulness to us. And again, to be able to sit under the ministry of so many godly men and women, but as somebody said before also, not just them, but counselors. You know, counselors that were 18, 19 years old that have impacted lives of campers through the years. other department heads that have worked with staff members and have shared devotions or just encouraged throughout the day in the kitchen or out on grounds, and you know, and friendships one with another, you know, just God building us up through the many that are part of camp. And so I'm thankful for that, and God is not done. I just want to end tonight with just a couple thoughts from Joshua. We're jumping right to the last chapter. At the end of Joshua's life, we started in the first chapter at the beginning of our week, and in that chapter, God's speaking to Joshua very simply, Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua, arise. And we've talked a little bit about changing of guards here. People who have served, who have come and gone, who have impacted so many lives. And their ministry, for many of them, has come to an end, at least directly. But even though they're not here, their influence certainly lives on. But God now calls others and us to arise and be faithful in the call that he sets upon us. God's work goes on regardless of who is serving him. He's going to accomplish his work. And so the faces may change, the names may change, the type of ministry and the strengths and the graces that a particular person has may change, but God will accomplish his purpose. And I don't want to make it just about here at camp, although we focused on these 75 years and what God has done here. But it's not just here. It's in your life. It's in your home, your family. It's on your job, in your school, in your neighborhood, in your church. God is wanting to do a work, and he has put you there now for a reason and for a purpose. And so when we go from here, we've got to pick that up. We have got to pick that up. I spoke with somebody this afternoon, and they came up here, and their daughter left here early in the morning, and they said, why don't you stay? You could be with us, and we'll bring you home later in the day. And she says, no, I have to be back at church. Now, I don't know if she had particular ministry there, but I thought, oh, God, for a church full of people like that, that say, God has given me a calling, God has given me a reason to be there, and I'm serving, and I want to be faithful, and so I'm going to do whatever it costs, whatever inconveniences or sacrifices. And so let's take what God is doing here and how you've served here and the commitment that you've made, and let's bring that into every part of our lives where God has put us. So there are two people I wanted to talk about tonight, Caleb and Joshua. We don't have time for that. But just a reminder, back when Moses sent 12 spies to check out Canaan and scope out the land, they came back with different reports. 10 of them, and the majority, said, we can't go there. We'll be destroyed. It's a beautiful land. It's a prosperous land. They have fortified cities. They have armies. They have giants. I mean, literally, they have giants there. And there's no way. We're like grasshoppers. We'll be destroyed. And God judged them and the people and said, "You'll not go in now." And they would die off in the wilderness. Those generations. But there were two, Caleb and Joshua, who came back with a report of faith. Yes, there are giants. Yes, there are fortified cities. Yes, it will be difficult. But God has promised. So they were the two in the minority. But God gave them a promise then individually and said, you will enter the promised land. So all the others will die off. But because of your faith, Caleb and Joshua, I'll keep you through the wilderness, and then you'll enter. So we know, we've been reading about the Joshua story and his legacy. There's not as much certainly written about Caleb in here, but we do read in Numbers 13 that the promise that God made to Caleb, and that Moses promised him particular inheritance in the land, and that he would possess this land. It's followed up now with Joshua's leadership, and Joshua didn't forget the word of God to him and the word of Moses to him. And so that goes through there in the 13th chapter. I just want to read a few, and then we're going to jump into chapter 24. I'm sorry, that's why I'm in verse 13. It's chapter 14. There it is. I thought I had it highlighted. Chapter 14, verse 6. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea, concerning you and me," Joshua and him. We were the two. "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God." And Moses swore that day, saying, "Surely the land on which foot is trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. Behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years." So that makes him 85 years old. "And the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord has said." What a spirit Caleb had at 85. Now, I don't know if that's like the typical 85-year-old who thinks, "I can still do what I did when I was 40. And everybody's saying, "No, let's have your license and the car keys now and put the ladders away." I remember my grandfather, he was in his 80s. And my mother and my grandmother would yell at him all the time because he just would keep doing. He was a worker. Nothing stopped him. There was no job he couldn't tackle. And he wanted to go up, and we had a three-family. They had owned a three-family house. And so he wanted to fix something up in the top. You know, you can get on the roof, but this was kind of the face of the roof. And so they just refused, and so he just waited for them to go out. I remember they came home one day, and he's up three stories by himself with the ladder in the driveway in his 80s working on the roof. And so that's, you know, there was nothing. He was 85 or in his 80s, and he says, "I'm as good today as I ever was." And that's only because, I don't want to say you're crazy, but your mind is, but whatever it was, Joshua, Caleb proved it. He says, "I'm ready to go, and I want the land that was promised to me." And without going back to all the references, the land that Caleb is talking about was the hardest land in the hills, with the most fortified cities, with the giants. The city was actually named, it's Hebron, it was named, the city was called Hebron under Abraham for many years. Then a giant came in and conquered that city. And they named the city after this giant, Arba, A-R-B-A. And so this was now the name of the city, which represents the giants that live there. And Caleb says, "That's the land I want. I want the furthest in, I want the most difficult terrain, I want the most fortified cities, and I want the biggest giants. I'm only 85. And he took it. God promised, "Wherever you walk, I've given it to you." That God would give us that kind of faith, that kind of strength, that kind of vision. That's really, I think, the battle. We can muster up some faith, but oftentimes our vision fails. And we settle, and we relax. But God, that you would give us a vision to push forward. The title, if you're in your notes tonight, is "Finish What You Started." And we're just going to end now in Joshua chapter 24. It's an exciting time for Israel, and I promise I'll be done in just a few minutes. And the enemies are defeated. They receive their inheritance. They're finally settling down in their own land. They're enjoying life. And as it is an exciting time, it's a very dangerous time. I mentioned that this morning. God warned them, don't forget. Don't forget that I've given you this land. Don't forget what I've done for you. Don't forget me. And so Joshua, at the end of his life in chapter 24, calls the people together. And he's calling them to full commitment. This farewell address is it's God, all God, or it's nothing. You need to make a decision now. Who are you going to serve? And so verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so this was the call to commitment. This was the call to make a choice. Who will you serve? It goes on here. The people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. They recounted what God did. He brought us out. He did great signs. He preserved us. And so they said, therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And so they were in kind of a meeting like this, where all of the faithfulness of God is recounted, all of the good things that God has done, all of his provisions, all of his protection, all of his blessings. And then the call was made, choose who you'll serve. Now this is going to be a one-time choice, because here we're making a choice, but this doesn't last us tomorrow or the next day. Every day we choose. And so in a meeting like this, where we're excited, where we've got the community around us, where we're remembering the blessings of God, where we sense his presence in a dynamic way, we're all saying, we are with you. We'll never go back and serve those gods. And you would think Joshua would be excited and encouraged, but we read the next verse, and Joshua says to the people, you're not able to serve the Lord. You're not able. I know your heart. I've been around these 40 years, and I've watched what you've done in the wilderness. I've seen how you've turned on God and turned your heart against him. I've seen how God had to deal with you and judge you. And he says, you're not going to do it. And they said, no, please, we will. And it went back and forth there a little. We will serve the Lord. His voice, we will obey. We promise. And Josh says, you won't. You can't. Let me read this, and then I'll close with my final thought in verse 25. So Joshua made a covenant. He said, let's make this real. He put in place statutes and rules for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone, and he set it up there under the terebinth that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. And therefore it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God. And so Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance. Maybe tonight we just need to make a covenant as we end our first week here. I'm here to tell you, you will not go back and serve the Lord unless you make some firm commitments and you go filled with the Holy Spirit and you live a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit. You will not do it. What makes camp special? What makes this place a place where you feel like you can conquer the world, and as soon as you cross the George Washington Bridge or whichever way you get home, you feel like you lost it. And the shadows are just closing in on you. And you just wish, if I could just get back to camp, I'm safe there. But much of that is you're putting yourself in a place of worship. You're putting yourself in a place where God is exalted. You're putting yourself in a place where there are others around you that are encouraging you, that are strengthening you, that are living for Christ, and you're drawing off of that. You're putting yourself in a place of discipline. Oh, it's 7:30, it's time for devotions down in the dining room. Oh, it's 9:30, it's time to be in the meeting. Oh, we're going to have meals together and we're going to sing songs and pray. Oh, it's time for prayer meeting in the afternoon. Oh, it's back to meeting at night. Oh, we have to read this chapter for tomorrow morning. And so we've got these disciplines in place that help us and guide us and encourage us. And then we go home, we throw it all out and think we're going to replicate this by doing nothing like this. And I just want to encourage you, take it with you, not just the externals, not just the things that you're supposed to do or not supposed to do, but put yourself in a place where God can fill you. Put yourself in a place where you'll be walking with Him. You'll hear His voice. You're in His Word. You're worshiping. You've got godly friends. Some of you need to start hitting delete on your phones, because you're hearing voices and you have influences from people that the devil is using, so that next year you come back and say, you know, it was so good, but I went home. I think Brother Paul has, he wrote an article in the back of that devotional this year that speaks specifically of that. The people we have in our lives that are speaking and the voices that we're listening to, and some may even be in your church, but they're not encouraging you in the right direction. And for all of us, we've got to be very careful that when we go from here, listen, you are not able to serve the Lord unless you make a firm commitment and then you rely fully on the Holy Spirit's empowering. And so I just want to encourage you as we go from here this week, and things have kind of moved very quickly, and a lot of us would like to stay a little bit longer, feel maybe God's not quite done. Listen, take Him. He's going with you. He's the same God in Brooklyn. He's the same God in New Jersey. He's the same God in Rhode Island or wherever you are. He is the same God, and He has promised, I will keep you. I will be with you. And so, be sobered by Joshua's word. That's kind of a real punch in the gut. We're with you, Joshua. We're with you. And he says, no, you're not. We need to be sobered by that. We will not serve the Lord if we don't determine. And then if we don't put ourselves in that place. Lord, I pray for each one here tonight, for myself. Lord, you have begun a good work, and you have promised you would complete it. But Lord, you're looking for those like Caleb who are fully committed, wholly committed to serve you, to follow you. And so, God, we've been excited this week. We've been encouraged this week. We've been blessed this week. You've come to us. You've poured out your Spirit upon us. And we would shout, no, we're with you. We will serve the Lord. But the truth is, Lord, apart from you, we can't. So we ask now, God, would you be gracious to us? Would you protect us, guard us, oh God, as many of us leave tomorrow. Would you give us discernment? Give us wisdom. Give us strength, Lord. Not just against the enemy outside, but ourselves, that we so easily drift and wander. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Lord, help us. And I pray now you would do that for each, Lord. Remove fear. God, this is not a message of fear. But it's a message of reality and truth, God. You're letting us know you are for us. You will help us if we come to you. So encourage us, Lord, to know that we have victory. We thank you for the word that you've given us, Lord, and in this book of Joshua, the story of his life and your people. You are a God of victory. And so, Lord, we will walk in that as we leave here. It's not just here on these grounds, but, Lord, you give victory in the middle of the city. You give victory, Lord, on the other side of the country, for some on the other side of the world. God, you're giving victory, and we claim that. We will walk in that, oh God. And we thank you, Lord, for your promises that are as true tomorrow and as true next month as they are here tonight. And so, Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for your faithfulness on this camp. And, Lord, we pray for these weeks ahead as others are going to come and go, that you would also meet them and pour out your Spirit upon them in a very unique way. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. And we will serve you. Finish, Lord, what you have started in us and in this place. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's sing hymn number 361. 361. You can stand as we sing this. Some of you will leave, and God bless you as you go. Remain in his presence and aware of him with you. Others of you want to stay, and you're welcome to stay and just continue in prayer tonight. Whether you stay or go, we pray God will bless you tonight. Again, remember 8:30 is breakfast, and bring your Bibles there. 361.
Yes, Lord.